This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, what great stuff from A.J. Hinch, the skipper of your first place Houston Astros. We hope to have him on again because that is always informative and quality. And he's a very good interview.
He's a good interview. He's a relaxed dude, and he answers you straightforward. You know what I mean? He doesn't. There's guys that'll dance around things, and you know they'll go Bill O'Brien on you or Bill Belichick, or sometimes you don't like. But I love even in his post game press conferences, when you get in that room as the media and you're sitting there and you're asking him questions, he's pretty straightforward. I mean, he's not going to spend a lot of time hanging out because right. Boy, when he's done, he's done. It's always been hilarious to me to watch him be like, okay, that's it. And like, he's out quickly, but he'll answer every single question and he's very direct with it, which is what I like. I mean, he's like straight to the point, no BS. So good stuff.
Yeah, it really was. So hopefully we'll get him on again because, remember, they should probably go on a winning streak here because if we have the Midas touch that we've had with Josh Reddick,
this is true.
This is the turnaround, start of a big turnaround for the Astros again. They'll end the streak tonight. They'll just start rolling along.
Yeah, what's Reddick done the last couple of days? Does he need to come in and get power up?
I think he does. I think he's had a little bit of a falling off, and I think it wouldn't be bad to have him, you know, get back in a good place.
He pinched hit last night.
He pinched hit.
For pinch hit, yeah.
Oh.
Okay. Whatever.
Okay.
You done?
I'm good. I was going to text that to you, and I thought, I'll just do it on the air.
How do you say that? Is it pinched hit or pinch hit? Okay. Well, it's past tense, though. He pinched hit.
Or pinch hitted.
Oh, I like that one better.
Yeah,
that sounds a lot better. He pinch hitted it. Yeah. Wow. You know, up until that pinch hitted it, he was. He had a 10-game hitting streak.
Yeah, we had got him on quite a tear, and listeners were actually reminding him that because of his appearance on our show, that he had been red hot. So you know, with the homestand, you know, is it wrap up after Sunday? I think. But before the next homestand, we got to try and put the irons in the fire to get him back on and let him know. In order to stay hot, he has to stay consistent. Therefore, he's got to go back to the show.
Actually, we should probably look at getting someone on the team that's struggling a bit
to help him.
Let's get that bat fired up a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Who can we get on here? Carlos Beltran. Although he's been kind of warm lately.
Well, he had a decent month.
Just
keep him in the batter's box, not in the outfield, and I'm fine.
I mean, yeah, he's over .500 in his last two games, but before that, he had a decent run there. He had gotten the average all the way up to .243, which is good when you consider where he came from.
Yeah, and his fielding percentage went down. We could also call him and see if he wants. We could volunteer to rebury his glove, and then he can just focus on hitting.
No, that ain't happening. Hey, who has the best average on the Astros besides Altuve? Two guys have a better average than Altuve. Do you know who it is?
Well, with not enough at-bats to qualify, right?
Doesn't matter, Joel. Answer the question.
I'm trying to think of who they are, Barry, but I'm trying to get all the details and specifications.
Oh, are you stalling for time?
Maybe. I'm trying to think here. Because I know
is what you're doing.
Marwin's not better than Altuve, no. But they do want him to get enough at-bats to qualify.
Colin Moran is hitting .500 with 6 at-bats, and Juan Centeno is hitting .429 with 7 at bats. There's your 1-2 in the lineup.
That's when you know you've spent a little bit too much time delving into stats. Yeah. Is it stripes when they say what the hell are we supposed to do, you moron?
Yeah, you moron.
Yeah, there you go. By the way, he's got to be due to come back hopefully too because that wasn't as serious as it looked when he took that foul ball in the grill.
Yeah, I missed that, too. I totally missed the whole thing. So.
Oh, you're never going to see it replayed on AT&T Sportsnet, I can tell you that.
No way.
Nope. No, sir. Not that one. All right, we continue to roll on. We got plenty more to get to. We don't want you to go anywhere. And if you want to participate in the show like most of you do on a regular basis that we appreciate, 713-780-3776. You can call or text on that line, or you can hit us on Twitter, where it's at the producer Nick, at Barry is funny, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Usual Suspects back on ESPN 97.5. Boys, we remember a few weeks back here in the Galleria when every day when we were heading towards work or heading out of work that there was an obnoxious line at the Galleria that I believe, Nick, you were the first to identify as a Louis Vuitton pop-up store that ended up not happening and they had to tell everybody to go home. But these pop-up stores are becoming more popular.
Yeah, what is a pop-up store?
Kanye does it too with his clothing line. It's like they come in for just a weekend and they go to the mall in an open space and, you know, they drop hints and things on social media and then all of a sudden they have like a blowout sale of their newest and hottest stuff where it's like not sale prices, but people think it's exclusive merchandise and they go nuts and they buy all of it.
Oh, okay.
So with that in mind, there was a new pop-up store in New York, of all places, that kind of put a different touch or spin, as the case may be, on pop-ups. Yes. A press release went out Thursday offering an orgasm makeover at a New York City pop-up called The Changing Room that had editors buzzing across town from publications trying to figure out if it was a dirty prank or if it was real. And it was real. British brand, wait for it, Hot Octopus, previously set up booths around the city last year for men to relieve stress, quote unquote. But now they're focusing on women's needs.
They stole my stage name, by the way. When I'm a stripper, that's my stage name.
Hot Octopus.
Yeah.
I bet you look good in a skirt. But this one, if you caught that, last year they were doing things to, quote unquote, relieve men's stress, if you know what I mean. This year they're focused on women. So they're giving tips to women from orgasm stylist Diane Baroni and then letting them try out fancy $150 vibrators called Queen Bee in a private pop-up room. It says the room will even feature music chosen by members of the Octopus's social network. The pop-up, which we're told is open to the public, in more ways than one, will be at 160 Orchard Street, Thursday, August the 10th, and Friday, August the 11th, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. in NYC. It's legit.
What is it? What are they selling?
The $150 vibrators.
That's it? Because you were explaining like how they're going to help women reach the big O.
Yeah, so it's kind of like,
is there like a map? Is there a map?
Are
there
like instructions? It's kind of like a process. So they're pushing the product.
Is it like the poster that you see with the Heimlich where it just shows you step by step, all right, you do this, boom, orgasm?
Or
is it more complicated?
It's possible there'll be a pamphlet that you can take home.
Okay.
But at the same time, it's the overall process. So that means from the vibrator to the orgasm stylists that will be there to assist to the music, it's all part of the experience.
Hold on. Orgasm stylist?
Dude, it's in quotes in the article. It says, let them get tips. Okay, again, no pun intended. Let them get tips from quote-unquote orgasm stylist Diane Barone. And then, of course, let them try out a fancy, Barry. Fancy is in the press release.
They use my favorite word?
Yes, they did. A fancy nice. $150 vibrator called the Queen Bee. Of course, in a private room.
They named it after Beyonce?
I guess.
That seems kind of weird. Mm-hmm. Oh, the single ladies. All right. I don't know what to think about this. I feel like a dildo pop-up is just a... That's just a cash grab, right? Like, I mean, they're just using a bunch of fancy lingo to be like, hey, come get your freak on and spend a lot of money.
Or who needs dudes when you can use this in the nude?
Okay. Is that a slogan they use?
No, I made it up.
You just made that up?
Yeah. I would have gone with Naughty Girl, too, by the way, by Beyonce instead of Single Ladies, but...
You know. Okay. Okay. I can accept that. That's strange to me. This whole pop-up concept is weird to me. I don't. How do you get the word out other than, you know, press releases saying, "Hey, we've got a table full of dongers over here on Fifth Street. If you guys want to come by and buy dongers in public with everyone staring at you, and some lady will tell you what to look like when you owe."
But think about it, Barry. Think about the word of mouth and how it got around with that Louis Vuitton store in the Galleria. I mean, I don't know if it's social media or what, but holy cow, the line was like a couple blocks long. It was going around the block.
Okay, word of mouth is one thing because everyone likes to buy purses or whatever Louis Vuitton sells, but I don't think that the dildo market is as big. I don't think the word of mouth community, I don't think the dildo community's word of mouth is the same as a Louis Vuitton fashion statement. So I think you gotta, I don't know, like, I imagine it's on, like, chat boards and message boards and stuff. Hey, there's a donger pop-up on Fifth Street. You going?
I think the word would have come from somewhere other than the word of mouth if it's effective and does its job. But, yeah, I mean.
Steve's so gross. Do they reuse? Oh, Steve, you stop it, my friend. Anyways, I don't know. I don't know. This whole pop-up thing is weird to me. I don't get it.
And the thing is, this isn't until next week, and it's in the New York Times. It's in the New York Post. So, and it's also on page 6.
Well, that's how they're going to get people. Because they did it ahead.
So therefore, the word's going to get out now for sure. But are you going to be that lady that goes, "Oh, honey, I got some place to be. Where are you going?" Don't worry about that. I'll be back in, you know, hour or so.
Matt said, "Can I get an instructional DVD?" That's what I'm saying. Forget that old stylist. Can I just get like a...
Did that one star Sylvester Stallone?
Like a map. But yeah, this store is a scam. Ladies, come to me. I'll show you how to reach that O free of charge.
The Italian Stallion.
Queen Bee is Barry's drag name.
And the
shut
Queen
up.
Bee.
I am not... That's not my drag name, whoever sent that in. You shut up.
All right, we continue to roll on. We've got plenty more to get to. We had AJ Hinch. If you missed it, check the podcast because it was really good. Barry is in Fort Worth, Nick and I here in Houston as we put the wraps on another big week of the show in H-Town. Before we get to anything else, I want to tell you about my good friends at Gallery Furniture. Of course, now with 3 convenient locations across the Houston area, Mattress Mack and his staff have been doing it for over 36 years in the city of Houston, and they want to get you into their store so they can get furniture for you as well. Mack believes in return customers. That means it starts with customer service and it ends with that because it's a relationship that will never end. You come in, you talk to a salesperson, they identify what you're looking for, what your budget is, what your style preferences are, and then they start showing you around to see the exact match that they can find for exactly what your furniture needs are. Now with 3 different locations, it makes it even easier to shop. Or you can go to galleryfurniture.com, and on galleryfurniture.com, you can find out that right now they're running a promotion where if the Astros win it all, you get it all in bedroom furniture. That means you buy a Macapedic or a Tempur-Pedic mattress set or an adjustable base, spend $3,000 or more, and if the Astros win it all, you get all that bedroom furniture free. Check out galleryfurniture.com for details. But better yet, head to one of the 3 locations. Galleria, West Oak, Post Oak at Westheimer, Grand Parkway between Katy and Sugarland, and of course the mainstay, I-45 North, exit Tidwell Parker both ways, where Mac says it, and they basically execute it on a daily basis. You buy today, you get it tonight. You get it within 3 to 4 hours of your purchase, and there's no back order slips. If you want it today, you get it today. That's just the way they do it. And also, you make sure that you understand that all this furniture is quality. It's built to last. It's solid wood, American-made living room and dining room furniture, custom-made leather, and upholstered furniture for your man cave or your movie room, and great leather furniture for all of the rooms in your house, but especially that living and family room areas. Go out and check Gallery Furniture, and make sure you also understand what Max says is true. Gallery Furniture really will save you money.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Joel, Barry, Nick, Usual Suspects. Going up till 4 o'clock until we turn it over to the Blitz. Good show so far. AJ Hinch joining us. Lots of good talk. A lot of baseball, some football. And why don't we even cover some basketball? Because we should be able to span the globe in the sporting world.
Let's do it.
Carmelo
WNBA.
Anthony.
WNBA. Oh.
Oh, boy. Oh, yeah, I can do that for you. Ready? The new NBA video game will have the ability to put WNBA players in it if you so choose. For the first time ever, WNBA players will be involved in a video game. There, we've done that, too.
I saw that. Now, well, hold on. This is, I like this. Nick, you play NBA Live, don't you? Nicholas?
Nick, do you play NBA Live? You play the NBA Live video game?
Turn your mic
on. No, I don't. I don't play that game yet. I would, but I don't have it.
I thought you were talking about how great it would be to put Brittany Griner in the middle.
No, I dang it, Joel.
Just asking a question.
He threw me off with that.
Oh, God, that was a good one.
Oh, that was good. A good one. Yeah, I would love to play, but I don't have it, so.
Would you play with a WNBA roster or just adding a chick to the lineup if her numbers were up?
Sure, why not?
Would you play with a WNBA player, Nick?
Like in the video game or what do you?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm asking.
Penis.
How sexist would it be if they gave their measurements that would be the worst.
Yeah, I just had a bad visual that I won't.
I know. That's why there was an awkward pause.
Yeah, I just kind of held back.
Wouldn't that be just terrible, though? That would just be like, oh, they're never going to take us serious. Well, I don't know that anyone ever has the WNBA, have they?
If they had their bios and then they get to that, you know, the personal spot.
Oh.
That could be really messy.
That could get awkward.
Yes, in a hurry. But, you know. So
So let's do this Carmelo thing.
So Melo's out there. He did an interview with ESPN and Scott Van Pelt the other night, basically stating there has been no meeting, but there's been chatter between himself and the Knicks. And I think, Nick, we got some audio from it. Here's Melo.
An emotional roller coaster. But I had to find peace. I had to, you know, come to peace with myself, come to peace with kind of the situation I'm in, and kind of try to find happiness again. You know, I kind of lost that a little bit, but I'm finding it now, and it feels good.
Yeah, he went on to say that the Knicks know how I feel and what I'm looking for, and he has had some great conversations with Knicks personnel since the new general manager Scott Perry took over. So they also asked him point blank about the Rockets, and he said, you know, I can't talk about that. So he dodged that very well.
I like that they're you know, the Knicks obviously are like, hey, can you maybe add to the wish list? Maybe Portland and Oklahoma City. That tells you that they're getting better offers for him from those teams than they are from the Rockets. Because the Rockets, let's be real, the Rockets don't have a lot that they want to trade or that can trade.
Right.
And so the Knicks are kind of stuck and he's stuck and it's kind of a stalemate, but you know, it's, they'll figure something out. But I like that he was pretty honest about it. For me, it's all about winning a championship and having fun and enjoying it, motivation, having fun and enjoying the game. At the end of the day, if you're not enjoying the game, everything else is 10 times worse. I don't blame him. Look, everyone wants to criticize these athletes for saying, oh, where you're just chase like Durant. Oh, you're just chasing rings or you're taking the easy way out. Dude, everyone wants to enjoy their job. Everyone wants to work at a place where they're wanted, a place. Who wants to go out and get a difficult job, right? Like, you know, if you could get a job that's easy and still do what you love, you would do that. Mm-hmm. And going to the Rockets is how Carmelo envisions that. So I'm not hating on him or Durant.
Well, I wouldn't hate. I'm not going to hate on Carmelo at all. I think the biggest thing was that he made it painfully clear without having to be too specific. But Phil Jackson was driving him crazy. He made sure that he said, since Scott Perry took over, we've had really, really good conversations. They know how I feel. I know how they feel. And the dialogue continues, so that's great. But to your point, it's something that we brought up on the show before anybody else, and that was the fact that, sure, it'd be great if everybody wanted Ryan Anderson and you could just use him as the only, you know, chip that you had to give up and you could get Carmelo Anthony. But as we had said, one, nobody really wants Ryan Anderson at $20 million a year. And two,
hell, the Rockets don't want him.
Exactly. And two, and more importantly, in order to get a deal like this done, it's not going to take just Ryan Anderson. And in a lot of cases, from what I'm hearing and what we're reading, Trevor Ariza and or Clint Capella have been thrown out there as guys that have to be in the deal. I'm not going to say that's a deal breaker, but that makes it a lot more difficult for a Rockets roster that has been depleted quite a bit just on the move to get Chris Paul alone. So
yeah,
You know, and here, look, and from the other standpoint of wanting, New York wants Oklahoma City in the mix because they know that, as we've talked about as well, their roster is full of great role players and a lot of young players. But they have to win now. They have to win this year, not like in the next 2 to 3, this year, because Westbrook is up, Paul George is going to leave, and they're going to, and they have to do something right now to try and make it a worthwhile situation for George and Westbrook and Melo, whoever it is, to say, yeah, I might stick around for another year. That was fun.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out because, I mean, we all know it's the worst-kept secret in America that Carmelo wants to come to Houston. Now, if you believe what people have said, he's gone back and changed his from his no-trade clause that he initially had said the Cavs and the Rockets. Now he said he took the Cavs off of it as they're trying to find a home for Kyrie Irving that would bring something back for them. But you would think that was more logical if he still had the Cavs on the board, that you could work Melo to his buddy LeBron James and the Cavs. Kyrie gets closer to home, a New Jersey guy getting into the Garden to play for the Knicks. But it doesn't look like that's going to happen either.
And that surprises me. You know, I mean, that seems like an ideal scenario for everyone, wouldn't you think? I mean, Carmelo, but maybe he doesn't feel like that the Cavs can win when it's just those two.
Yeah,
I don't know.
You know, here's the thing. I was mentioning the Thunder in terms of a team in desperation mode, but the Cavs have to be too, because they know that it's more than possible that LeBron James skips town after this year, and they're stuck holding a lot of other contracts that they only made because they thought LeBron was going to be there for the long haul. So if they don't do everything LeBron wants, and even still, he may leave. But if they're going to try and have any chance of keeping LeBron in Cleveland, they got to do the same thing. They got to get guys around him that he wants. But also, the tough part about this is you can't just surround him with his buddies like they did with the Rockets and Steve Francis back in the day. You got to surround him with his buddies that are going to get him back to the finals and have a chance to win it. And that's hard.
Yeah, your buddies don't always win. They make the long road trips and everything better, but your buddies always aren't the easiest and best road to a championship.
What are you talking about? Moochie Norris and Terrence Morris are all world, man. Not just in video games either. These guys are winners. They are all world. They can take you to the chip.
Sure. Yeah, yeah, they can. Don't you know?
And Stevie Francis, the franchise can carry it all by himself if he has to. Because, he built the Toyota Center.
Stop.
That was one of the most obnoxious quotes I've ever heard in my life when he said the house that Stevie built.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. A couple of texts. Somebody, your friendly neighborhood beer salesman said, thanks for getting NASCAR Johnny and me through the hell week. Going to go spend some time with the kids. You all be safe. All right, your friendly neighborhood beer man. You have a good weekend, sir.
No doubt.
Here we go. Where is it? There we go. Where'd it go? Damn it, I lost it, Joel.
You're screening things again, aren't you?
No. Here it is. I found it because I click off. If the DJ across from Barry didn't think he was a perv before, I think that's now changed with the vibrator talk. That was from Justin. Well, she can't hear me, though, Justin. I'm in a soundproof booth.
Plus, she's on the air.
Yeah. Yeah, and she's on the air. Like, I can't hear her. And she's gone. Her shift ended at 3. So
now what do you got?
That ship has sailed. Yeah.
What do you got to look at
I've
now?
I've got a horrible-looking man.
I was just going to say, it's probably some male producer.
It's a horrible-looking man and
Wranglers?
Yeah.
Plaid shirt?
But she did. See, I didn't see this, but she started tweeting and replying, and I never saw them.
To you?
She quote-tweeted two of them.
I didn't see them, but she was just like, I don't know what's going on, Houston, but hi, how are you? Like, you guys freaked her out.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to send her a private message and apologize. Oh, here you go. So the first one is from Nick Sharara. Hey, Mitch Rod, there's a weirdo Barry is funny looking at you from across the hall. Don't mind him. To which she quote tweets and says, what the hell? Then Brian O'Donnell says, Barry Pac-Man, hey, Michelle Rodriguez, the comedian in the studio next to you wants to get an interview for his Houston fans, yay or nay. She replies, I'm lost. Then Eric Resendez sends the creepiest one. Hey, Michelle, Houston wants to say hi, not trying to be creepy like Barry is funny. Best show in Houston. And she says, hi, Houston. Not sure what I could contribute or how I was, quote, discovered. So you guys have thoroughly freaked her out now. Way to go.
Well, mission Good accomplished, job, boys. Good job. Job well done. You, too, have a great weekend out there because of the fact that you have done a great job on a Friday contributing to this show, as you always do. With that being said, we have one segment to go before we turn it over to the Blitz, so don't go anywhere. We'll put a bow on it in just a minute. The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
Who's this?
I'm
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Wrapping up another great show and another great week here on The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. If you missed anything, especially today with a great interview with A.J. Hinch, head on over to the podcast. Check out ESPN975.com. While you're there, download the app. It makes everything a whole hell of a lot easier and us a whole hell of a lot clearer to listen to.
Did you see that? So first of all, we got a text. Somebody said, y'all were talking about guys not getting a break in Texas on kids in custody and child support. Mm-hmm. I had to go back to court, and I'll be officially off child support, and the arrears I was on because of being laid off is now zero. Also, bitch failed her drug test. So, oops.
Wow.
Well, good for you, sir. I mean, not good that the mother of your children is on drugs, but good for you for getting, not having to pay that anymore, I guess. I don't know.
I'll let you fight your way through that.
I don't know how you, congratulate someone. Well, good for you for not having to pay for your kids. I don't know.
Congrats,
no,
bro.
I get what
Congrats.
He's saying. Yeah. Josh Rapp tweeted to us and said, hey, since we're talking spanning the globe, let's talk a little cricket.
I would just like to hear them chirp.
Well, here's the thing that might surprise you. So, Ashwin removes an SL openers after India makes 622, which kind of surprised me, too, that India jumped out to a 622 lead on day 9 over SL, which would, they had a 50 over 2 with 20 over, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I was like, I was kind of surprised because Sri Lanka trailed by 572 runs with 8 wickets remaining in the first inning. But it looks like they might be able to make that comeback. So, I don't know if, you know, all things considered, if Sri Lanka can pull it off. But I do know this, that with Mendez, Chandamal, and Ashwin, as long as they're in the match, they're always in the match. You know what I'm saying? Because Pujari, Rainey, and Jadeja, they're just not as reliable as Sahai and Rahil and Ashwin in that India lineup.
But, Barry, you're talking about Sri Lanka. I want to get down to a little bit of the England-South Africa match because Ben Stokes was the top scorer on the first day at Old Trafford, and that was saying right. something because Ben really brought it. He brought the big stick. He really put the wood to it, and he was basically his performance was one of the best I've seen yet to date this season.
And, you know, they're using that new ball, so I know that that's an adjustment. You know what I'm saying? But Ashwin's having a ball with the new ball from what I hear. And so, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. Now, did you catch this story from Graham Smith where he questioned Philander's fitness levels? Because I'm like, hey, man, you can't be like that. And he's like, yeah, all I was.
Well, I mean, that's a problem, too, because some people don't give them the credit that they deserve in terms of the fitness level that you have to play cricket at the highest level, and I think that's exactly what they were getting down to there.
Yeah, because, I mean, a match can last, like, 3.5 months, so it's not like you can just run out there and be done in 4 days.
There's a reason why you time it with a calendar and not a stopwatch or a clock on the scoreboard, because there are no scoreboards, and that's why you can elongate a match so long.
Right. Now, my question for you is, who's your favorite going into this this series? Is it? I'll give you some options here: Sri Lanka versus India. Who you taking and why?
I'm telling you what, there's some people that can really get it done on both sides. I'm gonna have to go with India in an upset.
Okay. Well, you know, I mean, I don't know that it's the upset when you consider they're already leading 622-50. But I mean, you know, I'm not here to judge how
Sri Lanka's been
hot.
You just got done recapping that whole win. So
yeah,
I think Sri Lanka's the hot team right now.
Okay. 50 over 2 doesn't sound that hot to me. South Africa versus England. I'm going England because they have tea and crumpets. I think it's pretty obvious right there.
I told you about Ben Stokes. That's the key to this entire
right.
The South Africa attack has Vernon Philander. He's impressive, along with Kagiso Rabada. But hey, the fact that they're losing 52-2, that's a problem. I'm going to go with England.
Okay. Well, you know, right now England is fourth in the standings with 3,362 points with a rating of 99. I mean, a rating of 99 that's not impressive to me when you consider Team India right now is sporting a 123 rating. And almost at 4,000 points after 32
Are
matches.
Are you aware, so, though, that
pretty
England,
obvious who England, the best team in cricket is.
England is chasing their first series win in the last four. They're also aiming to end an awful streak of losing 8 of their past 9 final matches in a series. That's a bad turn. That's a bad twist of fate that they've got to rectify now.
I'm with you. I am totally with you, man. So there you go, Josh Rapp. There's your cricket update.
God, I thought you guys were going to go for a whole segment.
We actually could have.
We could have.
Yeah. I was like, dang.
Hey, man, you know.
Be careful what you wish for, Josh Rapp.
That's right. That's right.
All right, now it's time for our Major League Lacrosse update. Go ahead, Joel.
I'm going to tell you, the stick handling in Major League Lacrosse has improved immensely because of the fact that there is no way in hell they are going to allow the same kind of things that the NBA allows in terms of early entry into the league. You got to play 4 years at a highly esteemed college before you're allowed to get into this league, and that's why Major League Lacrosse is such a step above any other league. Period.
Dang, he just did that on the fly.
Yeah, that was all right, I guess.
Oh, boy.
No mention of Joe Walters signing with the New York Lizards, but whatever.
Dude, that was your job, to come in and add that extra color
Stan
commentary.
Stan Ross resigns from the Florida launch, and you don't even mention that in the Major League Lacrosse
overrated.
News?
He's past his time.
Dude, I don't know. I don't know how to handle this. The Lizards have already traded JoJo Morosky to the Rattlers and a 2017 first-round pick, but all you want to talk about is stick handling. No surprise there.
I've actually interviewed the commissioner of Major League Lacrosse. I actually interviewed him two, 3 months ago.
Is that something that you brag about or put on a resume?
No, I just thought it was funny because I brought it up. Yeah, I would. That's a resume builder.
There you go.
So, Nick, what have you done in your radio career? Well, let me see.
I interviewed
the commissioner. I interviewed the commissioner of the Major League Lacrosse.
And I don't remember his name, but that's okay.
Yeah, I had trade talks in kickball, and I don't know what else.
There's a hot but hefty Hispanic at the bar, and Nick walks in, doesn't have a kilt on, but says, "Hey, you ever interviewed the president of the Professional Lacrosse League?"
NASCAR Johnny said, "That was the best cricket breakdown I've ever heard." NASCAR Johnny, that's the only cricket breakdown you've ever heard. What are you talking about?
You might have read it in the past. Yeah, you haven't heard it like you've heard it here.
What are you talking about? Now, you know there is someone out there. Like the text line just blew up. What are y'all doing? What are you talking about? What the F is going on? What the bleep are you talking about? Cricket? Are y'all high? You guys missed the first part where Josh Rapp asked.
J-Rap, yeah. At JRAP314. You want to blame anyone for this segment and you want to get at him? Get at him. At JRAPP314. It was his idea.
Here's the text. Finally, some logical cricket talk. This is why I love the show, guys. Also, I never knew Rahil played cricket. Yeah, he did apparently, right? Oh, look, India, hashtag bleed blue.
By the way, did you catch
that?
That's
so great.
When those
people
guys were
actually do follow. India's the best team in the world. Yeah, that's what I said because I'm a cricket expert.
Did you guys catch that from A&M today? All the pictures, Granato, the A&M Aggie for a day, doing the gig'em and the thumbs up. Rahil, very wisely, would not do that because his Longhorn brethren would be all over his earth.
Oh, of course. Of course. Somebody said, please drive me off a cliff. Man, if you don't like cricket and lacrosse, then this ain't the show for you. I don't know what to tell you.
Yet Sean Lundy is tweeting rugby talk and go real man's sport at Houston Strikers, newest pro team. We'll get right on that.
Whatever, bro. Give me a 9-day cricket match any day.
Stay tuned next week when Barry has to sit through 9 days of cricket. And half the time spent in the studio with a big screen TV watching it. Glenn Davis will call it while it's going on so that he can give you any kind of expert analysis that you need.
I take it.
All right. Until then, Barry, travel safe. We'll see you back here at the Ford on Monday. And I guess
you'll
say hi
to Michelle for us.
I hate you.
And you will be back in town in time for game day?
Yep. All right, I will. I will be there. I'm driving in after the show Saturday night. So an hour of sleep, but I'll be there.
Barry and Nick, 9 a.m. Sundays on Game Day. Blitz next. Thanks for a great week. We'll talk to you next week, Houston, right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.